This is our devotion. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. Isaiah chapter 53. Jesus might have fought his death or asked his followers to fight for him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried and asked God to take the suffering away. He was not sure that he could do it, and then he said that he would do whatever his Father willed. He chose to face all his suffering to give eternal life to the whole world, even to you and to me. God does not hope for pain for Jesus or for any of us, but when pain comes, God will use it for the good. This is what we can do with our bruises and our wounds. Ask God to give us the courage to take our hurts and turn it into love for others, just like Jesus did. It's a wonderful book that I've said to you before from an author called Henry Nouwen. And Henry Nouwen is a wonderful Catholic man, but writes a very powerful book called The Wounded Healer. And through my life and through all the struggles and through the death of our kids, that book has been probably the most vivid foundation of ministry for me, because it helped me to realize this. And as we talked about this last Sunday, it's truly in our woundedness. It's truly in our brokenness. It's truly when we surrender to God in our woundedness and our brokenness that, number one, we find the true grace of God. Number two, we find the true healing of God. And number three, that God will use our brokenness, our bruises, our hurts, and our pains to his glory. Just look at Job. Tonight, look at Jesus. Jesus prayed for that cross to be taken away, but in the end, he said, "Father, your will be done." He hung there in agonizing pain, bleeding for you and for me. He hung there and was forsaken by God, the only person ever living to be forsaken by God. God turned his back on him so that he could experience true hell for you and for me. But as you and I know, in the third day, which is coming up very soon, we see that God does work everything out for the good of Jesus Christ and for us. And that's what God does with our brokenness. When we come to him with our pain and our brokenness, when we come to him and say, "Lord, you have called me to take up your cross." And Jesus does that. He calls us to take up our cross and follow him. And we know that his cross led to death. It led to suffering, right? That's the true gospel. That's the true message. Our cross will lead to the very same thing. But when we do it, we will find joy, we will find peace, and we will find love. We grow in love as we suffer, love for our neighbor and love for Jesus, because we see that what really matters in this entire world and what really only matters above all else is the love that God has for us and the love that we have for one another. And it's in our brokenness, our weakness and our woundedness that we truly find the power of God's love. His love for us and our love for each other. So they may see and know that Jesus Christ is Lord and King. I want to close tonight with a quote from Martin Luther from a reflection on the cross that he wrote for Good Friday. "The cross teaches us to believe in hope, even when there is no hope. The wisdom of the cross is deeply hidden and profound mystery. In fact, there is no other way to heaven than taking up the cross of Christ and following him. On account of this, we must be aware that live an active life with good works, and that the contemplative life with its speculations, both of them can lead us astray. Both are most attractive and yield peace of mind, but for that very reason they hide the real dangers unless they are tempered by the cross and disturbed by adversaries." Martin Luther is saying what's very plain and simple. The gospel of prosperity that you hear today, that if your life is, you live your life believing in Jesus Christ and give to him all you can, and you live a happy life, your life will be perfect. Guess what? That doesn't work. And he's also saying the flip side. If you do all the good works you can and live the best life you can, that doesn't work either. It's only when life meets adversity that we see Jesus and his cross. The cross is the surest path of all. Blessed is the man who understands this truth. It is a matter of necessity that we be destroyed and rendered formless so that Christ may be formed within us and Christ alone be in us. Real mortifications do not happen in lonely places away from society or other human beings. No, they happen in the home, the marketplace, in secular life. Being conformed to Christ is not within our powers to achieve. It is God's gift, not our own work. He who is not Christianus, is, if I may coin a word, is not Christianus. In other words, he who does not bear his cross in crucifixion is no Christian, for he is not like his master, Jesus Christ. Amen.